And welcome to Salafap. He is the anchor of the Highway Patrol, content producer for it as well, an on-air guy at Triple M, an ex-rock patroller. His name is Mr. Chris North. Welcome to Salafap, Chris.
Welcome to the show.
Ex-rock patroller. Does that mean you've actually moved up in the world from selling icy cold cans of drink in order to be able to say, hey, people, now you can go to this place and buy them?
Absolutely.
I feel special.
Is it Coke or Pepsi these days? Because I don't even know anymore.
Depends who's sponsoring the show at the time.
Oh, that's true.
If Pepsi have an agreement with your show, it's Pepsi.
Hey.
If it's Mountain Dew, well, we love it.
And oh, yeah.
It's more likely to be AC Cola.
Now, straight off the
thanks
top.
Thanks, Kmart.
Thanks, Kmart.
AC Cola?
Straight to the top.
Or RC Cola.
Oh.
Royal Crown.
Oh.
Come on.
Yes.
We want to get sponsored by them. Is that possible? Can we get sponsored by RC Cola? Can you hook us up? Come on, you're a producer.
Yeah, you've got contact, surely.
I know the right people to call.
Nice.
I just don't know the right people to who say yes.
There it is.
There we go.
That's what you need.
Them's the breaks.
Them's the breaks. Now, Chris, you're a comedy guy.
Yeah.
You've been around the traps doing comedy. You've done Raw Comedy as well.
I was lucky enough to win Raw Comedy back in 2003 in New South Wales. Went down to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival as part of the final. And my year was pretty good, too. We had, Sam Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's been doing gangbusters in Edinburgh, from what
I
heard.
Which, yeah.
He picked up all sorts of awards over there.
Yeah. Marcus Ryan was in that as well. Andy Muirhead. That's not so much of a story.
Let's pass on that one.
But anyway, there was a great bunch of people that were in that year.
Yeah.
Great comics. It was such a learning curve, too, where you had this daunting experience where your first couple of gigs were in front of maybe a couple of hundred people in a small room in a pub, for me, in Sydney.
Yeah.
And you were killing it.
Yeah.
And then, your fourth gig would be at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in front of 1,500 people.
Yeah.
And then that was going to be put on TV. And then months later, you'd still get phone calls from mates going, hey, I just saw you on the plane. I've been flying to London. I just watched your routine about seven times.
Oh, the Q Comedy on Qantas or something. Yeah.
And then you'd be going, oh, this is so embarrassing. But that fear of dying in your ass, it came to the fore when you go to Melbourne. But look, great experience.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a good opportunity to go, you know what? This actually might work.
So am I right in saying that Raw Comedy was your first kind of foot into comedy?
Yeah, that was my first gig.
Your first gig?
Yeah, and I'd actually, the reason I got into it was because a couple of years earlier, I went with a mate of mine, Ben Holloway, to the Harbourside Brasserie in Sydney, which was then the venue of Raw Comedy. And I remember that night seeing...
He's showing his age.
The foundation of his inspiration and his life and career is just—it's
out the window.
It's gone. His life means nothing. What's happened to all this?
I don't believe it.
Tell the story.
I know. It's like having sex with my wife. It's like, baby, yeah, you know you love. Yeah, that's it. No, I'm the pool cleaner. And then, no, babe, I'm gonna do. Yeah, no, you know what I'm gonna do to you? I'm gonna take off your clothes and then I'm gonna
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You make it up.
You had us on edge, and then it just fell apart.
It's gone.
Come on. Who'd you see? What's he like? Describe him.
What did he look like? Fuzzy
Mr.
hair.
Mr. G.
Chris Lilly.
Chris Lilly. Okay.
Wow.
So I can't believe. And the other bloke, I'm going to kill myself for not remembering. Abe. I think it was Abe. Anyway, he did a great routine about. It was like a sketch, produced sketch about how to do stand-up comedy. It was very Monty Python.
Oh, wow. Very meta.
It was all pre-produced. And he stood there in front of a microphone going, is it ready for me to talk now? It was very funny. I can't remember who that was. Oh, Dom Romeo, comedy nerd, is going to kill me for that.
Yes.
But Chris Lilly did 5 minutes of Mr. G.
Really?
Coordinating all the people in the school to do a routine to the Rainbow Connection.
Oh, right.
By Kermit.
That's fantastic.
I remember it as clear as day, every second of that. And I remember going at the end of it, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then when he brought out Summer Heights High and all that stuff, you saw the character development. So everything that you saw in that 5 minutes in his Raw Comedy sketch, which he eventually went to Melbourne and did really well. I think he went to Edinburgh as well. Everything you saw in that 5-minute sketch actually appears throughout his TV show. So all those characteristics of all those people, the one in the wheelchair, the overexuberant person, Mr. G going, eyes to me, look at me, Mr. G, all of that, it was all there.
And wow.
It was all, so everything that he'd planned years earlier then was just extrapolated to make this massive show.
So you got to see the seeds of that comedy.
I was really lucky.
I didn't realise that he actually started in stand-up and doing sketches like that.
Yeah. And I think that was the only time I ever got to see him was actually doing that particular routine in Raw. I don't know if he went on and did other stuff. He clearly kind of made something in the circuit. And he's not the kind of guy that you would have seen at the Oatley Hotel or the Manly Boat Shed.
No.
Pulling that routine and going, it's like, well, you would,
this would have gone down well. just doesn't fit.
And there, we've had some bad rooms and some bad places. And I could see that people going,
yeah,
you know, so.
Well, you think about it though, maybe Jonah might have gone down well there. Probably not for the right reasons.
but it would have gone down pretty well.
That would have been fantastic.
Yeah. But that's a really magical moment that you experienced, and that really inspired you to become a comic. And,
And so it was really good. And then kind of following that, I remember I was actually trying to go into radio at the time, and I'd happened to go into radio, and then I moved into radio and went regional and stuff. And but it wasn't until I kind of got a couple of years in a radio that I went, you know what, I really want to go back into stand-up. So I moved back to Sydney, and my wife and I moved back to Sydney. We brought the kids, and we went, f*** it, let's do it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And all the people I'd sat in pubs watching, guys like, you know, Tommy Dean, Tom Gleason, Charlie Pickering, Limo, Bridget Daly, CL, just all these great comics at that time who were doing the circuit and working really hard with their 10 minutes. And you'd see them polishing it up and just kept on delivering these amazing routines. And even though I'd seen the same routines 100 times, you'd still laugh at the same joke.
Yeah.
And that was the idea of saying, you know what, that's how you make a joke. So you make a really good joke by making people laugh every time you tell it.
Okay.
As opposed to, oh, yeah, I know this joke.
Yeah,
I know where you're going to go with
this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you see
and do the mercy laugh. You say, ah, ha, ha, yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the sound.
My favourite's this one. It's like the, two claps.
Yeah, two claps.
No, more than two.
Just two.
If you get three, you're doing pretty well.
Oh, if you can get three, then you'll actually get a follow-on.
Yeah. So if you get three, you get a series on the ABC. Chris Lilly got that. That's the story of Summer High Time.
That's true.
Or We Can Be Heroes. Sorry, some people forget about
that. We Can
Be Heroes. That was the one that he started with.
Oh, that was a cracker.
Yeah, you know what the funny thing was? Now, Lindsay and I just got back from our trip in the US.
As a married man,
he wasn't very happy that we didn't invite him.
Yeah, and I said to Snitch when I found out he was going to the States, which I think you guys decided about a day before.
We planned it about a day before we went.
He was like, I'm going to the States. I went, well, where's my invite? And like I'm there explaining as a married man that I'm going to Eurovision in May.
Hello.
And you're going to the States on a boys' tour.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
So I lived vicariously through Facebook.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah.
So, thank you.
If you do want to check out the Facebook, facebook.com/snitchandlens, just a bit of a plug in there, might as well. Now, actually, tell us a little bit more about this Eurovision stuff that you're planning on doing as well. I mean, I know the press releases aren't out as yet, but give us a little bit of an insight into what you're doing with Eurovision.
So what is Eurovision, just for the listeners who don't know what it is?
Okay, yeah. Eurovision is the broadcasting union of essentially they're like SBS channels or publicly funded channels around Europe.
Yeah.
And the condition of these channels is that they must be publicly funded and publicly accessible. So it's not TVS.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Not quite.
It's like community radio, I guess.
No, it's more on the SBS line. So it's free programming.
Yeah.
But it's free to the community, but it also reflects the community.
Okay.
So all of these television stations as part of the European Broadcasting Union get together. Now, and that includes, get this, Israel. Because remember, Israel's not in the EU, but it is part of the European Broadcasting Union.
That's a pretty big claim to fame to say we're not part of the EU, but we do have a weird dance that we're going to do at this concert.
I know, and we are going to be part of the largest song contest in the world. In fact, it's one of like the top five events every year. So you had like, if you have like the biggest event of all time is like the World Cup soccer.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the World Cup footy and rugby and all of that stuff. And then you've got the Olympics. Eurovision comes in like in the top five every year because it's live around all of these countries. So, and it's like Big Brother on Viagra.
Yeah.
Man.
Like Sonia Kruger would lose her little mind if she realized that the 100,000 people who watch her and think she's awesome, right? And go, Reggie, I love you. No, stay in the house. You're so awesome. But then on the other side of the world, you've got these absolutely drop dead gorgeous Eastern European TV chicks hosting these little segments that go, hello. And you go, oh, my heart's breaking because I ought to see you in a private film, but that's not the story, right?
Yep.
I actually want to see you on
that's
TV.
A different type of Eurovision.
Wow.
I know where we're going next.
That's the type of Eurovision you can order in your hotel room.
That's the one with added features.
Yes.
And it's 3D. No, let's move on. So, and then you get this great sense of seeing the entire European Broadcast Union come together in order to do the most kitsch television show.
Yeah.
And they rehearse it and they take it seriously. And at the moment, like Malta has just released, at the moment of this recording, we would find that Malta have just released their finalists for Eurovision in May. And the Maltese finalists they range from being really good to really shit.
Mm.
Just like bottom of the barrel, scraping it, kind of.
There's no one there.
And you wonder how they get through, but they vote themselves through and they get the bit and then they send them over. There's one guy there who's like a Maltese Mumford and Sons.
Oh, so, that's not too bad.
It's not
that's
too bad.
That's cool.
It's like wearing me mum's sweater and getting up there with me banjo and doing my funky hipster gear. And it's in Maltese, so it's a little bit odd. and they're all in English. And so their definitions of it, their English is absolutely perfect, but they can't get the structure correctly.
So
you can see them like they're – and my favorite years ago, there was this Swiss team that actually translated their song into English. And then they translated it back to Swiss German because they went, oh, look, no, this can't work.
Yeah.
And then when they rehearsed it, they rehearsed it and the guys were there saying, we're not going to win this if it's in Swiss German. We have to learn it back in English.
Oh. So they've translated it three times.
3 times. So back into English it went.
Yeah.
And they got up and they started singing this song in the what was then the final, and the words were it was like a disco beat.
I've seen Eurovision, of course it was.
Yeah. It was all disco. And it was and the words were, you are the sun. This is my Swiss European accent.
Okay, yep.
You are the sunshine of my day. Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
You are the darkness of my night. Yeah. You are my muffin mixture, my pikelet of delight.
That's fantastic. Now, that's a hit if I've ever heard one.
I know.
At least it rhymes.
Seriously. So we get Lee Harding on the phone because we've got a brand new song for it.
And that's what I love about Eurovision. And I know it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Some people like Masters of the Universe. Some people collect Transformers. Do you remember what Masters of the Universe was?
Is that He-Man?
Yeah,
we were watching He-Man in Dallas, actually. Yeah.
He-Man, She-Ra, Skeletor.
Skeletor, yeah.
Right. Some people grew up on that and lived on Cabbage Patch Kids or Garbage Pail Kids if you're a bloke. They were great. There are hobbies and things. Some people love sport.
Yep. Yeah.
I like Eurovision.
Eurovision. You love Eurovision.
And I want to go. I've never been able to go. I've never had the opportunity. And when Sweden won last year, Elaine, my wife, looked at me and went, are you going to go? And I went, well, what do you reckon? Can I? And she goes, why not? I applied for a press accreditation. And you're going to love this.
Yeah.
You know when you go to somewhere and it costs you a lot of money to go there and it's always bumped up on the price?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So like you go to the AFL Grand Final in Melbourne, accommodation's going to cost you a couple of $100 as opposed to maybe 90
And the pies are around about $30 as well.
Yeah. You remortgage your house just to have indigestion.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to Malmo, which is next to Copenhagen, it's Malmo.
Oh, that's really nice, Copenhagen.
Oh, his sister just got back from Switzerland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she loved it. She spent a year
kind of
there.
Nowhere near Copenhagen.
Yeah, well, Snitch doesn't know geography, so.
Sorry, so I'm just saying that's somewhere in Europe. That's all I knew.
Don't worry about this guy.
It's Northern Hemisphere, isn't it?
It's like geography's a little bit off.
Hong Kong, man. It's near Hong Kong. Yeah. The plane goes through it on the way through. Yeah. It's like,
I'll get there one day. Sorry.
One day. It's Europe.
Well, right, so when you get to Malmo, I checked the accommodation prices and it was to stay in like a Formula One.
Yeah.
It was $6,000 a week.
Holy hell.
I know. Right? That's $1,000 a night.
You might as well just go to a pay by the hour hotel at that rate.
Man.
don't you think the ideas come to head? Or, no pun intended. That's, but yeah.
I think a lot of ideas have come to head in paid by the hour hotels.
Well, yeah. But as press accredited, it goes back down to $100 a night or something. Oh, no.
That's unreal.
So you get change from a grand.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah. I love the fact that this is where the world's going to meet, and I don't know what the bloody hell's going to happen, but it'll be good fun.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, fantastic. Man. We'd love to.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's like going to the Olympics. It's like going to Vegas with your mates and not getting anally raped.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know.
Either by each other or by the bouncer.
We can't all vouch for that.
Yeah, we came close.
Close enough.
We got separate beds, luckily.
How'd you go? Do you sleep talk, Linz?
I sleep talk and I wake talk, apparently. Yes. So I talked to myself when I was awake.
I don't know about you. I process things pretty quickly. So I could see your lips going and I thought, wank. Because you're going to say, I wake talk.
Wank
in your sleep.
We all wake talk a little bit? You know,
just
get a bit of colour in there.
A bit of dirty talk.
A bit of grunt sometimes, you know, but let's not go down that path. It's sure.
Whoa.
On the topic of Eurovision.
Just out of how did you go? Like, did you share a bed?
No, we didn't share a bed in Vegas. We're in the Stratosphere, so we got separate beds in that one. Yeah, but in other places, we did share a bed.
Did you just plug the place you stayed? Was that a plug?
Well, no, it wasn't.
Honestly, we probably wouldn't plug that place because it looks like the coolest place in Vegas because it is the tallest tower, right?
Yeah.
That's what the Stratosphere is.
Yeah.
But you also don't realize until you get there that it's at the end of the old strip, right?
Yeah.
Where all the casinos have all closed down. They're all derelict. They're all broken down. And at the very end of it, it's this giant thing.
Like the Sahara closed down. It's right next door. You know, fun fact, you know, we actually didn't go up that tower once.
No, we didn't even go up the tower.
We didn't even go up the tower.
We were at the tallest tower in Vegas.
Yeah, with the ride to the top.
Is this the one with the roller coaster thing?
Yeah,
on the top?
Yeah, we didn't even go up the top. We're staying underneath it.
Yeah, it looks great. But the hotel itself is about as dodgy as a Formula One.
Yeah. And it's really not that old. It's built in 96 and, you know, it's aged quickly.
I feel like they built it in 96 but got the design of the rooms from one of the ones built in the 1900s.
Oh, easily.
Because it's really, it's really ordinary.
I take photos of all the rooms that I stay in.
Oh, so did we, yeah. We took a photo of the room that we stayed in New York because we thought it was the same place that they shot The Shining. So there you go.
It was creepy.
Oh, really?
Or maybe it was the same place where the fat guy from Seven died. I'm not sure. Could have been.
I have a theory that, and that's why I started taking, years ago, I started taking photos of all the hotels that I stay in, all the hotel rooms.
Okay, what's this theory?
Because you go to a hotel and it's either where they make porn or somebody dies.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So one day you're in Red Tube and you go, I know that guy.
Yeah, I know
I've
that
slept
room.
In that bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, and every time you take a photo, you make an assessment of the room. Would I make porn or would I murder somebody?
Ooh.
And
oh,
I
wow.
and
sometimes
and
it
nine
kinda,
times out of ten,
nine porn, times
it's both. It's always death.
Yes.
Make the porn video, then kill them.
You've been down the Hume Highway lately. You've been through Ashfield in the west of Sydney, that area, like Hume Highway. There's all those old motels. So
you would have stayed at quite a few hotels in your time because you've travelled a lot of different
places.
Yeah,
you're everywhere.
A few of those welcome hotels.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, man. So what's the weirdest thing that you've seen?
I remember staying at this one up near Coffs Harbour, on the way up to Coffs Harbour. It was like the El Toreador. Because you know how all the hotels along the main highways always have a theme?
Oh, they do, don't they? Yeah.
You've got to get the customers in.
So this was a Latin theme, was it?
Well, it was a Spanish.
There we go.
El Toreador. It's like... like
Zorro.
Well, I was trying to work out whether the cleaner every day walks in with the sheets and like holds them like a red
just to get you out, you charge it, and you're out of the door.
Flicks them, and then suddenly the bed's made. Or it was quite odd, but their biggest claim was as most of them up and down the coast are air conditioning, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It always says air conditioning,
like that's a new thing. Yeah,
and. Colour TV and the colour is always different colours.
Yeah, it's in different colours. Yeah, it's a multicoloured word.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's like, and they always, so the El Toreador was there. I've stayed in this one called the Shakespeare, which was like based like a Tudor thing. And that's right.
What's this?
I just remembered. And when you checked in, and the guy said, hello, weary traveller.
Oh, yes.
I
want to stay here. Stage.
Yes, I went. and then when it checked out, it was like, fare thee well.
Oh,
and I was like,
wow. That's touches like, you just can't get anywhere else.
No.
It?
So it's like motels around Australia are just full of that cheese, but it's only on the outside.
Yeah, once again, okay.
Inside, it's still the same shit. Right? We're still with the same little piece of soap.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's still with the paper wrap across the TV that says across the toilet. Paper wrap across the TV.
Might as well clean the TV as well. You know this.
Porn or death. I'm telling you. Right? Paper wrap across the toilet that says sealed for your convenience.
Oh yeah.
What
about this? The folded toilet paper. Is it always folded in the little triangle?
Not the places I stay.
No?
No.
You'd be lucky if you had the roll.
Oh, there you go.
People nick the rolls, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I've always stayed in a hotel where people nick rolls.
Was it you?
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Depends if it's three ply.
What have you stolen from a hotel or motel? Have you done
anything big?
Like that?
Have you stolen a chair?
A lamp?
There's been some nice chairs I would have taken.
A light bulb?
I love taking the free gear. So,
You got to take that.
Yeah. So, like slippers. We stayed at a really nice place as part of the show.
Slippers,
up
pillows,
on the
Gold
Coast.
You know, TV.
Pillowcase. I took as much as I could. Everything, body lotion to sewing kits. I can't sew.
Yeah, but you still take it.
I need it. Makeup remover.
How many hotels have sewing kits these days? I haven't seen one in years.
This was a good one. This is a really nice one. But I reckon. No names, no pack drills.
Okay.
There was this one place that had little packs of Vittoria coffee and a plunger.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a bit of a coffee snob. Yeah. I travel with a plunger.
Yeah.
I go, I travel
French
with a plunger. Always.
Yeah.
And then I know they had coffee. I was like, oh, ripper. And then I kind of sweet talked the housemate. I was like, oh, can I have an extra kind of couple? Because we're here for an hour and I really like strong coffee. Oh, yeah. Gave me a couple. And then I accidentally hopped out of one of the floors on the hotel, thinking that that's where the pool was, but it wasn't. It was actually where the cleaner's
storeroom
was.
Oh.
You just hit the jackpot, buddy.
You walked out with a trolley full of Victoria coffee.
And let me tell you, my check-in baggage the next day was a box of Victoria coffee.
That's great.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's good quality stuff, too. That's
the best.
Yeah. That ain't cheap.
No, not at all.
Things don't come no cheap.
Were you sweating when you get the heist, like, to grab the coffee? You didn't think twice, did you? You just jumped in.
I at the moment, I'm red, feeling my face burning, going, are you? You're admitting guilt here.
Yeah.
It was basically like Ocean's 11 at the Best Western.
They get the coffee on the fourth floor.
They had to change over the little videos as well.
Well, look, if I was smart, I would have got some flexible little Asian dude to do it all for me.
Oh, there you go. There's your problem.
Can't find those in regional Australia.
Australia.
They're too busy cooking good meals. Like when you go to regional Australia, I love the fact that you can get Chinese, Malay, Thai, as I saw in a restaurant, Chinese, Malay, Thai, and Aussie meals.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say Chinese, Malay, Thai, and Aussie fusion. That was just all in the same meal.
I remember living in a place called Taree, which is...
Funnily enough, the show's about to go there, isn't it?
Funnily enough, the show's about to go there. Oh, yeah. A few stories out of that place. And there was a Chinese restaurant there that got done by the immigration department for running an illegal brothel and immigration service out the back.
Now that's a restaurant, isn't it? You can get everything at that place.
Dim sum with everything.
Everything.
I'll have the $69 banquet. You saw it coming.
Give him a hand.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
You mentioned that the Highway Patrol, the show that you're now producer for anchor for, is heading to Taree to meet up with an old guy called Norm.
Yeah, Norm's an interesting character, and it all stemmed from the worst thing that you can do in radio, which is a prank call.
Which no one is now
no one's allowed to do.
Which makes sense at this current time.
Yeah, and I think it's more, I don't know if it's like I think it's just an unwritten rule at the moment, like nobody's doing them.
Yeah.
And so this happened kind of ages ago, and from the prank call, Merrick Watts, who did it, started to feel sorry for the guy while I was pranking him, and then ended up actually, instead of pranking him, giving him what he wanted that he was asking for in the ad, which was this collection of yodeling and harmonica records. And brought him a brand new CD player and everything. And then we developed this relationship, and the show started developing this relationship with Norm, who we found out, it's like, he's this 80-year-old World War II veteran. His wife's there. They love going to the RE. They're Aussies. Have a few stubbies, love a pork chop.
Real salt of the earth kind of guy.
Yeah. Isn't he just? We sent him to review a film.
That was the Hunger Games. Games. Oh. Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Didn't he give it a 4 out of 10, I believe?
A 4 out of 10.
He's a hard man to please. That was a good film.
It wasn't No Beaches, I think.
No, it wasn't No Beaches.
It's a really interesting thing. And the great thing about this job is that, and this is where I suppose you learn as a person, you kind of forego those opportunities to, where you've got three solid kind of comedy writers and performers in the show, that type of thing does present itself to you, and you don't have to write jokes around it. That's just a fun story that everyone loves, and the guy's got funny stories to tell, and you kind of laugh at it, but you laugh with it because this guy's just such a dude.
He's such a dude.
He is.
Yeah. Which is a really Australian bloke, or
just, and as you put it, Snitch,
salt of the earth.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I love the fact that he's a digger as well, because I believe we rang him on Anzac Day.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, he was in Japan for a year and a half.
Just over a year. Yeah, a year and a half.
There's not that many diggers left, and I don't know how we managed to stumble upon one.
That's full on. So he was there for a year and a half. So he would have been part of the peace. Force there.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have built the garden in Hiroshima.
He was in Hiroshima, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's where the Aussies were stationed, actually.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So Lindsay's a history teacher, of course.
I've researched all this stuff. I know this.
That's right. You're a history teacher.
I'm a history teacher.
Yeah.
Look at the fun. Yeah. That's who I am.
Are you the kind of history... My history teacher at school, Mr. Buckley, who I think has met the grace of God.
That's good.
Lord, rest your soul.
I've got a hotel he can stay in. He'll probably make porn while he's there. Anyway... The point is that he always had a theory, which was that if you provide examples, you must provide three examples before you can use etc. So it would say,
that's a good rule, actually.
That's a good rule.
I haven't heard
grammar
that before,
rule.
You know how people say, oh, look, yeah, it was really good. They played, I went and saw the Foo Fighters the other day. It was really good. They played Everlong, etc.
Yeah.
No.
We need more examples than that.
Come on.
So, times like these and best of you.
He was the guy who I had an argument with him at school. Unlike me to have arguments with my teachers at school, I had an argument with him about the idea that Five Little Ducks as a nursery rhyme was not the kind of nursery rhyme you should be teaching kids.
I don't know the nursery rhyme.
Different time. Five little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother duck said,
quack, 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 quack.
Right, and only four little ducks came back.
What happens at the end of that nursery rhyme? I can't remember.
Well, my point was, why is it, right? How? Yeah. How did the what
so
happened?
That's never explained. It's a bit like
they go away and then they come back as ducks.
At what point has it been okay for ducks to go over the hill and far away and play unsupervised and then progressively turn one less each time until all of them disappear? Right? Who's the crack whore duck mother? Is my big question.
I believe it was based around about the Great Western Highway at that point.
Somewhere out that way. Yeah. Somewhere.
Spending a lot more time on a back selling a crack, crack, crack. Crack, 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 crack.
Oh, there we go.
If you know what I mean.
This is why we got Northy on for the podcast and that kind of stuff.
Just coming up with the gear.
It's good.
We need some comedy. We're not very funny.
Oh, the other one I always had a problem with was...
Bye-bye Black Sheep. Mary Had a Lamb.
There's so many nursery rhymes these days.
Big Red Car.
That have been called out as being racist, and you can't even say half of them anymore. Was it Eeny, Meeny, Money, Moe? The original of that was Catch a N-word by the Toe.
That's right.
Yeah. And I didn't even realise that until I'd spoken to my parents.
Well, you know that easy peasy lemon squeezy is what the kids say, but as I just...
Easy peasy Japanese.
And that was the problem. I went into the Commonwealth Bank just near our building the other day and deposited some money. Yeah. I didn't even look at the lady behind there, and there is a strong Asian population in this area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so when I walked in with my money, and I was just pulled the card out, and she goes, hello, how are you going? How can I help you? And so I'm just depositing that, thanks. She goes, easy peasy. And I went, Japanese?
He can't say any nursery rhymes these days without being inadvertently racist.
Down?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
I would have gone down a trip.
The process was only like 15 seconds, but I felt I was there like in the Matrix.
Oh,
you know, everything was swirling around me. I could see myself in various angles dodging bullets going, I want to die. Oh,
that's awful, isn't it? And it's inadvertent racism. Like, well, none of us here are racist, but I've done something very similar as well. A lot of callers that you'll get from like people that call you. What do you call it when people call you up out of the blue?
Telemarketers.
Yeah, telemarketers, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of telemarketers. It's a known fact that a lot of them are from India.
Yeah.
Like, you'll get Indian people calling you. Now, I got a call when I was still staying at home, and I got a call saying...
last weekend.
Yeah, last weekend, that's it. And I got a call, and it was an Indian lady on the end of the line. And she was like, oh, I just need to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, sorry, you know, not interested, thanks. Like, oh, okay, cool. Do you mind if I talk to, you know, the head of the household? No, they're not interested, thanks. I ended up hanging up on her. And then my mum spoke to me a little bit later and said, oh, did Jess end up giving us a bus? I told her to give us a call. So my mum's got an Indian friend.
Oh, dear.
And,
Not smooth, mate.
Yeah, it's inadvertent racism, but
yeah.
Oh.
She was just trying to be polite.
And then
she was just like, hey.
She was just trying to be polite, and I didn't realize.
It's like, hello, Michael Snitch.
Yeah, she might have even used a name in there, and I just didn't realize. I was just like, so, because my parents get heaps of telemarketer calls.
Have you ever done telemarketing?
No, I can't say I have.
I've never done it. It pays well, apparently.
No. I only did it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Before I got full time radio gig. And yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, really?
The worst thing I've ever done.
It's like a room with no windows.
Yeah. There was I worked for an insurance company once. That was funny. But then there was this wine place that we sold wine, and dealing with the fact that you are in a room of maybe 16 people. And you're ringing up these people going, hey, Linz, it's Chris, your wine guy here.
What's been happening?
Man, what's going on? You're still smashing back the Pinot Noir.
Oh, you bet, but I'm running low. Can you send me some more?
Oh, listen, let me tell you, have I got something for you?
Oh, yeah?
And so...
Lindsay's the best caller to a telemarketer ever.
I know.
Tell me more.
But I remember one night, it was so bad, I got 3 dead people in a row.
Oh,
really?
3 dead people in a row.
So you called their phone and they said, actually, Mr. Joe Blow has actually...
Yeah,
it was passed on.
First one was, he died about 3 years ago. Can you take him off the list? Ooh. I was like, oh, okay. The second one was a similar thing. Oh, he moved overseas and he's since passed away. Oh, okay.
And the third one was dying in the process.
The wife was actually preparing the wake. It would have only just happened.
Needs a party for the wake. And need some wine.
Well, this is the thing.
No way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so man. My boss is, and I'm there shattered, and my boss is standing there, and his name's Marcus, and he's this arrogant little English French dude, and but so good. And he kind of looked at me and went, with his hands, sell.
Oh.
And I went, do you need some wine for the wake?
Oh. What was her response?
I sold 4 cases.
Yeah!
I know.
Unbelievable.
It's great.
Introducing Chris North, the best seller in the world, apparently.
There was a pun. Seller.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't even mean to do that one. That was pretty good.
Comedy gold right there.
Not bad at all.
It's the end of the day.
I think the real question is, though, what's in this wine? All these people are dying that you're selling wine to.
Well, no, these people. That's funny. Yeah,
But I assume that you were calling. Cold calling, was it?
No.
Yeah.
They were warm calls. They were people that we knew. So they'd already established the fact that they'd bought one. But wow, you got people at the worst times, or people would shout at you. Yeah. Nah, off, mate. I'm not interested. No, I don't want to. And the people who said no are the people you sold to every time. Guarantee it. I'm not going to tell you how it works, but you can. Everyone who says no.
Well, come on. Let us into an industry secret.
Take us in the world.
I know. Your podcast is bloke is going to be on the train from Melbourne and Melbourne going into his telemarketing job and going, listening to the Snitch and Linz podcast and going, oh, is that how you bloody well do it?
No. Trick.
It's just going to spread around the world.
There's
suddenly...
a really good trick, and it works every time. It works every time. But there's
Do you use that trick in other life? Like people who say no to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, come out, mate. We're going out. And he goes, oh, no, I don't want to do it. Yeah. And then you use this little trick.
It's like a Jedi mind trick. Do you just wave your hands and say, you do want to buy some wine? Yeah. Something along those lines? No?
Mate, how do you think I got 3 kids?
Oh!
Not tonight. No, not tonight. Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight. Now.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, funnily enough,
I think I might have condoned a sexual offence on your podcast.
No, that's fine.
We'll bleep it out.
Given the radio landscape at the moment, you're doing pretty fine.
You're doing good. You're doing fine.
Can I say something I know you're going to bleep? Did you hear the bleep, everyone? Did you hear it? Yeah, we all heard it.
Bleep that whole thing out.
Yeah, go on.
Well, speaking about touchy subjects, something that we're going to be doing on the Salafap podcast is we're going to do the Wheel of Seriousness. Okay? For the last 10 minutes of the podcast, we're going to spin a wheel, and it's got all different serious subjects on it because, you know, all the really popular podcasts like Mark Maron's What the Fuck podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Very serious. Also, Pete Holmes's You Made It Weird, which is another really big podcast, and also Mental Illness Hour as well, which are all huge podcasts, some of the biggest, are all serious. They all talk real serious stuff. So we figured if we can get 10 minutes in there, that's going to get us a few more subscribers. So do you mind if we spin... This wheel of seriousness.
Let's spin it.
Can we get Sophie Faulkner to spin it for us?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Can we get her in? Oh, you're the producer. I'm sorry. You've got all the contacts.
Hey, I've got a funny story about that girl.
Oh, okay.
Right. So we were at media school together. Well, like I did this kind of radio course.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the night that I used to go on a Wednesday night, there was a girl who was Jodie Mears. Right. Okay. And she was a model who then went off and married Kerry Packer's son.
Jamie
Packer. So she became Mrs. Packer for a while.
Yeah.
And she still owes me a packet of cigarettes from back when I used to smoke.
Oh.
But she probably doesn't anymore. But, you know, it was like, oh, wow, you're a bit of all right. And then there was this other girl there called Sophie Faulkner. And she was, you know, training away at being a kind of a media girl. She wanted to get herself into TV. I still think the funniest thing she ever said, and she'll admit this, we were sitting down chatting after our kind of session of media-ness, and she said, oh, of all the things that you get to study here, do you get to study noddies? And we went,
noddies?
And she goes, yeah, do you get to learn how to do noddies? I went, what's a noddy? And she goes, you know, when the camera turns away and you nod. Oh, yeah.
What?
Have you ever seen that on a TV interview?
Oh, when they turn the camera, like the lights go down a little bit.
And no, they're talking on an interview, then they cut away to the presenter who's like nodding in agreement.
Oh, yes.
That's all post stuff.
That's noddies.
That's done after the event. If they only have one camera, they do noddies after the interview.
Oh, wow.
And then they insert it back into the interview so that it's like... It
looks like you're agreeing with
them. Yeah.
I thought it was two cameras.
Yeah. So then, you know, like they're interviewing a sex offender and he's saying, and I had a really hard time trying to get away from the fact that the police were chasing me. And then they're poking,
You've ruined TV's the magic for me.
It's a giant lie.
I've killed the box, haven't
you
I?
You have?
Yeah. Radio just killed the TV star.
There we go.
Time to get back, kids.
Yeah,
I so let's spin the wheel of seriousness.
Absolutely. There's quite a few different subjects on it. There's relationships. We've got religion. Your childhood. I mean, it's serious stuff. We've got to talk serious.
You're talking serious.
For at least 5 minutes. And then we can crack into another joke. And also health. So if you want to spin the wheel of seriousness here.
Okay. I'm grabbing a hold.
And it has landed on health.
Health.
Now, it's funny that it landed on that, Northy, because you just mentioned that you're an ex-smoker.
Yeah. Right?
Did you want to talk a little bit about that? How did you get into that?
My mum.
Oh, your mum. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is going into childhood as well.
She's the Marlboro woman.
Oh, really?
Mate, she rides the horse. Okay. Pack a day. My mum smokes so much, you could tap her head and ash falls off.
Wow.
Mate, my mum smokes so much. This sounds like, she does. My mum smokes so much. Like, when she breathes in, her lungs go red, you know, like on a cigarette.
Oh.
It's like, my mum smokes so much. I'm thinking of me. My mum smokes so much that she has a warning sticker on her forehead.
Does it have a dead baby on it as well?
Gangrenous toes. She's a pack a day.
Yeah.
Marlboro Red, 16 milligram, just full on.
Are the walls full of tar?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's actually a thing. Like in a smoker's home, your walls do actually get coated with like a fine sheen of it, and you can move pictures and you can see the outline of them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Absolutely. And when I used to go to school, even when I go there now, I can drop the papers off to mum and dad, and dad doesn't smoke.
Oh, right? Okay.
And it was just, you walk into the kitchen and it's like, oh, really? And then you're there for 30 seconds and you walk out and you feel like you've just been in a nightclub.
Yeah, oh, and you've got the smell on you and your clothes and you're
done. And it's like, oh, how am I going to get, like, oh, you know, I smell like smoke. And
yeah, you go home to your kids. I'd like, prefer to bushfire.
I want to be covered in wet dog.
So, yeah. I mean, you were talking about, you seem to be talking about your mum in the present tense. So I'm assuming that she's still with us.
Oh, straight. Yeah.
So she's still kicking on. Has she... This is, I don't know, this is the serious part. Yeah. So has she felt any kind of personal effects from the smoke? Has she got anything like that?
The funny thing, right?
She's right as rain.
She's right as rain.
Yeah, that's what I thought it would have been.
Dad is the one that's completely fucked up, like the asthmatic. Oh, really? He's got the problems. But he does, like, he doesn't have emphysema or anything like that, but he's the asthma.
Yeah.
But mum is, she doesn't, she's got no health issues. Other than the old age health issues.
Oh, yeah.
No problems with breathing. She doesn't have asthma. She doesn't have, lung cancer or anything. And she's great. She argued. She had like a vein checked. Like there's the arterial vein, which is in the neck, like the main one. And they clean it out because it gets full of that cloggy stuff.
The
tar and shit, right?
Well, it sounds like she's had a slight effect from it then.
Well, so they cleared that out and she spent like weeks arguing with the cardiovascular surgeon that it had nothing to do with smoking.
Mm.
Really?
And the guys, they're going, you're going to have to give up. She's going, it's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to, and you know, everything that she's got, everything that she has, apparently has nothing to do with smoking. So leaving the give, and I'll give her credit for this.
Yeah.
Mm. I let her smoke in my house. I don't mind. I'm an ex-smoker. My wife's an ex-smoker.
All right.
It's cool. I'm totally cool. My mum wants to smoke in my house. She bloody well can.
Yeah,
right?
It's your mum.
She's my mum.
Your mum.
Right? And one cigarette's not going to kill my kids, passively. It's just not going to happen. But, she has a great little argument, which I kind of, I see the logic behind, which I really think is really interesting. And hers is to say that how many people actually die of tobacco deaths each year? And she said, or tobacco-related illness. And she goes, get that as a percentage of the entire population as against the number of people who smoke. Mm-hmm. And then work out how many people actually die each year from tobacco-related illness. And it's really small. Mm. It's really low.
Okay.
And so I can see why she goes, you know what, it's not everything is all related to that. So her bad health or, people's lungs can be affected by 100 different things, whether it's car pollution, dust, chalk. Imagine the chalk in a teacher's
room. Oh, man.
There you go.
Thank goodness we've gone to whiteboards.
Smart board. You remember when we were kids? I reckon what was more dangerous than smoking was when we were kids.
To clear out the dusters.
And for me, being a little bit older than you two, not much, but just
not
a
much.
Just that
couple of years.
I've still got that.
A little bit noticeable.
A couple of years.
Maybe just not that much.
Wow. We didn't have photocopiers back then. Well, we did, right? But we didn't have them as readily accessible.
Okay.
But we had these printing machines that did like a transfer, which then got soaked in like an ethanol or an alcohol.
Yeah.
Marker.
Are you talking about papyrus? Is that?
And the problem with mail is it always went via the Egyptians who were building those bloody pyramids. And I just could never get my Christmas cards within like 1,000 years.
Good fun.
Pigeon, go on. <I'm here." laughs> These stencils, it was a stencil machine. And so when you printed off like 30 copies of a worksheet for your class, it had this, it was dipped in this like a xylene or alcohol based product that stank. It was like liquid paper, and you smelt it.
Really?
And you got high. So I remember being, and it was like up until probably like the late 80s, maybe just on 1990 that these things were still in schools. So they'd run them through and here's your worksheet. And they go, oh, cool. And
suddenly the entire class wants to listen to Jimi Hendrix.
It's music time, kids. What music do you want to listen to?
Oh, I don't know.
Led Zeppelin, mate.
Yes.
Led Zeppelin.
Let's just listen to Pink Floyd, the entire album. its entirety.
I'm a brick in the wall.
And I want LP, man, not CD. LP.
You can feel the warmth, bro.
Oh, it was just, it was great. And, you know, and liquid paper back then didn't have, it was like
it was some hardcore shit.
It was hardcore.
Right?
Yeah. I know a kid. I know a kid. Christian Dignan. I know a kid who sniffed a liquid paper so hard, he collapsed. He like went, and then he was sliding down a banister. And he lost complete control and he fell off. And the other thing about like those things is that if people passed out, this wasn't so much for that kid, but if people passed out, they shat themselves.
Oh, really?
Well,
that's the thing that happens.
They lose their bodily function.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you pass out really badly, or if you have a seizure as well, you either wet yourself or you poop yourself.
Involuntary
stuff. Man. Yeah, it's good stuff.
You should do that for the show.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So what's it like teaching now, Linz?
You know, it's not as bad as you'd think. Like year 8s and 9s, there's a lot of work, but the older kids and younger kids, you just got to clamp them down.
I was a teacher.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
What did you teach?
My secondary humanities, ancient history, economics, and English.
No way.
Yeah.
You were a teacher.
Yeah, my first prac was at Arthur Phillip High School in Parramatta.
Is that a tough school?
I don't actually know that place. Oh, I've never heard of that.
Wow, I don't think anyone knows that place. It's like Lost. and then that was an experience. And then I remember for sport we went 10-pin bowling.
Wow, this place sounds pretty good, actually.
For sport, we go ice skating.
There were some great kids. Like, don't get me wrong. There were some really cool kids, and they were all troublemakers, and they knew they could work me because I was like a troublemaker as well. And I was oh, man, I like you. You're a cool kid. But then I went to another school, which was a high school not far away, and I did a year 11 English class, and two of the girls were pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. So
that's a thing
that's
that
what
can,
happens. Yeah.
Let's get ourselves back to, you know, Shakespearean tragedy. here's a little bit more about Ophelia from Hamlet.
I see where
I was going. So
what was the name of the first school again? Was it Arthur?
Arthur Phillip High School.
Arthur Phillip.
Because Parramatta in Sydney, the west of Sydney, was like the first colonized city.
Yeah. Parramatta was like the capital of Australia at one point.
Was capital of Australia. There you go. And so Arthur Phillip, being one of the great founders of this country, and so they named the high school after him.
Mm-hmm. It sounds a little bit regal, to be honest.
Was Arthur Phillip the first? He was the first governor.
Oh man,
here's a history lesson.
Two history teachers
was
in here.
Macquarie.
It was the first. Arthur Phillip, Macquarie.
Arthur Phillip led the. Did Arthur Phillip was the one who sailed into
Botany Bay?
No.
Or the first fleet?
No.
No,
he sailed.
Just a note to the
Harbor.
Listeners, I've never shrugged my shoulders so many times in my life.
Yeah.
You're
doing some yoga.
No idea.
Yoga.
It was one of them.
It's a new yoga position called I Don't Know.
Go, I'm just going to wrap this podcast up. And if you guys want to go do your lesson plans now. And,
whatever.
So what are we going to do? Sorry, mate. And back then we had little lunch.
I used to call it little lunch for ages.
Little lunch and big lunch. And I remember my first day at school. You remember your first day at school?
Yeah, I remember the first day at school.
I've got three kids and my youngest just had his first day at school.
How did it go?
I was so upset.
What?
Oh, you were upset?
What happened? Did he cry?
Were you clinging to his leg as he was walking into school?
He's like, don't go.
Stay home. Let me wipe your bum a little bit. His teacher was so much hotter than mine. It's like,
oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Stunning.
Yeah, nicely done.
And so, good job, kids, what I said. No, I remember my first day at school, and I told all my kids this. I've reiterated it maybe 100 times when they go to school, which is whatever you do, don't eat your big lunch and your little lunch at little lunch.
Yeah, don't do that. Because then you got nothing.
I didn't know there was two lunch breaks when I first started school.
So you just didn't eat all your food.
Smashed it back.
Smashed back a double lunch and you were nothing left at the end of the day.
And big lunch came and I cried.
Yeah, because you didn't have any food. And there's a lot of pressure on little lunch to eat it all.
And like, what am I going to do? I've got a frozen Prima, a Vegemite sandwich, and some Samboy chips.
Oh, nice. Wait, man, you got some really good stuff. I never got that.
A tuck shop that had what were those great little triangular
Sunny Boys. I had one the other day. Oh man, hit the spot.
Zupa Dupas.
Yeah. We used to have light and tangy chips. I used to go nuts for those things.
Light and tangy were
the bomb. That was a little bit after, like, light and tangy certainly came in after me.
Yeah.
Like, well, lime tangy wasn't a flavour. See, it was chicken or plain or salt and vinegar.
Yeah, we were in the years of Tarzos, you see. That was our bag.
Yeah.
Do you want Tarzos?
Yeah. We were footy cards.
Oh, footy cards.
Footy cards, yep.
Yeah, footy cards.
And we had Pokemon cards a little later on.
Yeah, that was
great. That was a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, that was us going to high school, which might tell you a little bit about our high school years.
Pokemon.
I never got that shit. Man, no. That was, you missed out on something
we
big.
Had yo-yos.
Well, I mean, technically, that was after we were meant to be into it anyway.
Yeah, like, I know. Well, some of us were still kind of nerdy.
Yeah.
You know what we've got that I still have?
What's that?
Game and Watch.
We have a Game & Watch?
Yeah, I've got about 20 of them.
That's like 1920s,
man,
isn't it?
Garrett, you could... Ouch, Snitch.
Come on. Let me send you a telex.
That's it. We're wrapping this podcast up. We're going to beat Snitch in the side alley.
Hey, don't side with Northie. You're the same age as me.
This was really fun. Stop. I had a great time. Stop.
No, but funnily enough, I actually do have a Game & Watch as well. But
which one you got?
It's the Donkey Kong one.
I got the hospital one.
You got double screen?
Double screen.
And what do you got?
I got like this.
Hospital double screen or is it single screen?
I think it's single screen. Like you have to bounce the patients off the hot burning
have
hospital
you still got
into
it?
Yeah, I don't think I got it.
Mm.
Why do you collect them?
I'm pretty sure I still got it in my garage somewhere.
Oh, got
it. It wasn't mine, it was one of my cousins, funnily enough.
I got my original Game Boy. Mm. But that's okay. Well,
it's not
sorry.
Game & Watch. And another thing I loved about the original Nintendo Game & Watch, Game A was hard, easy. Game B was hard.
Oh, Game B was impossible.
And Mickey's Chicken House. It was Mickey Mouse. He had to catch the eggs. That was great. But they brought out two different versions, and one was normal, and one was widescreen. And it had a big line underneath it that said widescreen. And when you put the two together, they were exactly the same.
Dodgy.
Call the cops.
Start measuring up, guys. Yeah, the world's a lie.
I want a royal commission. Mm. And I want it now.
Let's go. Let's look back into it.
Oh, Northie, it's been a fantastic having you in the studio.
Thanks for allowing me into the pad of sin.
Absolutely.
I've really enjoyed it.
Anytime.
We've really enjoyed you being on the show.
I've never met a man, by the way, Linz, who can actually get away with leather shorts and thongs.
Well, you know.
And I like your style.
It's not great, but, you know...
He wears it better than most people do.
Right? Yeah.
Let's be honest.
I've got room at Eurovision in May.
Nice. That'll go down a treat.
You'd fit right in.
Northville being his
Lederhosen.
Lederhosen. Yeah, it'll be good fun. Thanks, Northie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
That's all for this week. Stick around next week. Brand new guest.
We don't know who yet.
No.